Okay, so mark that on your calendar for men's ministry. Amen. Also, there was another, I don't know if some of you guys know Jesse, young man that used to sit in front here. Jesse, anyway, him and his wife, they've been separated for a while, and they had a baby just the other day. The baby's name is Faith. So we trust that this whole situation has been reconciled. Amen. And I'm going to get Pam to come and share her announcement, then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to enter into worship. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Just wanted to let everybody know we're going to start a team here, that we're going to get into different ways to enhance our worship time. And our first meeting is going to be on September 17th. It's a on February 17th. You tell I'm nervous. On February 17th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a Saturday here at the church. And anybody that wants to come and just hear what the vision is for what we're going to do with this team, and also those of you who I've already talked to and are sure that you're going to be part of it, I'd like you to be thinking about a name for the team. And just keep it in prayer, and we'll work on that when we get together on February 17th at 2 p.m. Thanks.
Another thing that I forgot was Monday nights are the marriage enhancement opportunities for all of us. So all love and respect. Monday nights here from 7 to 9. And it just started last Monday. Amen? It's a great time. And it's for everyone. Even for those that aren't married yet. Amen? So let's just open in prayer. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I want to encourage you guys to do this morning. Instead of looking at your neighbor and looking what they're dressed like or she looks like or whatever, let's just lock ourselves into this vertical. Amen? Into the living God. And just worship Him. And just focus on Him. Just in your mind's eye, look that you're standing before the presence of the living God. Isn't He worthy? Isn't He worthy of our worship? Amen? So let's just do that this morning. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about your past week. Forget about this next coming week. Let's focus on the One who has saved us and given us eternal life. Amen?
Yes.
So Lord God, this morning, Father God, we come before You. And it's the greatest privilege afforded to mankind is to know the living God through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for Your sacrifice for us. Holy Spirit, we invite You. Holy Spirit, just come. And unravel all the wires of this past week, all the hurts, all the pains, all the unforgiveness, all these things. Just unravel it. We just lay it at Your feet now, Lord God. But this morning, we just want to focus on You, Lord God. Just to focus on what You've done on behalf of humanity, Lord God. And on behalf of each of us here, Lord God. So we ask this, that You just be with the worship team. And as they worship, Lord God, that we'll be brought into the very presence of the living God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite You into this place, Holy Spirit. Your way, lead us today. Pray that anything that we've done, any of our agenda, that none of that is more important than what Your agenda is, God. Thank You for freedom. Thank You that You are our peace. And You're worthy of our praises, God. Thank You, Jesus. We lift You up. We lift You up, Jesus. I'm trying to get him to. There we go. Hey, welcome. It's good to be here. It's good to just join together and we sing, you know, Jesus, we welcome you. We want you in this place, God. That's our desire. It's our prayer today. We just want to hear from God. Amen. We want to come into his presence. Today, it's really about just sitting at his feet. Just like the disciples did, we hear that over and over again that, you know, the disciples would just sit with him. And so sometimes we just have to kind of imagine what that must have been like. But, you know, just Jesus maybe sitting on a rock, maybe there's a little fire going by, you know, and they're listening to him. And he has some teaching for them, and he's loving them, and he's teaching them about the kingdom. It's always a kingdom teaching. And there's other poor and struggling and broken people around, but, you know, that's just the kind of Jesus, he's the kind of Savior that we believe in. That's the Jesus of the New Testament. That's the Jesus of the gospel. And today we want to do that. We're just going to sit at his feet. Just going to sit at his feet. You want to close those doors? Do you mind that? I am glad that people like my wife are out there taking care of the kids. Thank you for all those of you who do that. It gives us an opportunity. It gives them, you know, an opportunity to learn more about Jesus and gives us a chance just to have some time together and have some time with him. This morning, later on, we come to the Lord's table and we're reminded that we are clean, that he has washed us by the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. And that is a really, really good thing. Jesus said that we should just keep doing this. It's kind of like looking at, it's like he gave us a picture, like a photograph. He says, just every once in a while, take a look at the photograph. Every once in a while, get the album out. And when you look at it, you'll see what I did. And you'll remember that I died for you. And you'll remember that you got hope. And that's really, it's really what this is about. So thank God for that. I'm going to ask for Tom in just a couple minutes. I've asked him earlier this week if he would just take a few minutes this morning to explain this. So we want to use the gifts that God's given to him in doing that. But before we do that, I want to lead you in a prayer. We are thankful for a number of things today. Thankful for the things that are going on at Renew. I want to thank God for that in prayer that is coming along. On our website soon, just so you know, there'll be a link to Renew, and there'll be applications for the managerial job that we're looking to hire someone for, and soon there'll be some requirements. You'll see what we're hoping, you know, this person's going to be, you know, and they're going to be amazing if they can do all these things. You know, it's awesome. We're going to find that individual. So pray for that, and there's also going to be soon some volunteer forms for those of you who want to volunteer. We got to fill out an application. There's certain things that we need to agree on and just to understand. So look on the website, pottershandsministries.org, for that kind of information. But we're going to pray for that. We want to pray for Anita, who's still in Edmonton. We're thankful that she's doing so good. Crystal and I got a chance to see her on Friday. We took her out to Tony Roma's. Love that place. Excuse me. I didn't mean to say that. So just going to pray for her. Thank you for her healing, God. And for Mel. Wow. Praise God. Mel went through. Yeah, that's good. Give God glory. Give God the glory. January 2nd, right? You had your surgery, and it went well. You want to say anything about that? You don't have to. How about you, Earl? It's a miracle, yeah. So that's three words. It's a miracle. I guess that's enough, right? And we've been talking about that lately, that we just got to acknowledge when the miracles are happening. We got to celebrate them. We've got to highlight them. You know, Anita is a great example of that. The doctor said, there's no way you'll ever have another kidney. This is not going to happen. And the same thing they said to you, right? They said, you got a few months to live. This is not going to happen. You'll never have this surgery. This is going to end your life. Thank God for miracles today. And yeah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's bow our heads. We're here to pray. We're here to worship. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for this community, this family of believers. Thank you that you are the living God. You are amazing, and you are good, and your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, God, that you are the God who heals us, that you are the great physician. Thank you, God. We rejoice with Anita and with the transplant that happened a couple weeks ago, and that transplant is not being rejected by her body, because you have declared that this is how you want to heal her. And we stand on that promise today, God. We thank you that you are a God of miracles. We thank you that you do wonders and that you're changing lives. Some of us have received that healing. Some of us, it's more of an inner thing. You've changed our hearts. You've changed us. You turned us back to you. Thank you for many people here today where you've done that recently. You're good, God. Thank you. We offer our praise and our worship to you. We're grateful for Mel. You've heard our prayers. Thank you that the surgery that happened just 20-some days ago went so well. And the doctors came out of there saying, wow, that's just amazing. She's doing better than they ever hoped. And that's because you're a God of great hope. And we just remember that. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're so faithful. We just pray that today you'll lead on, God. That you'll continue to move your people. That we will, as we worship you today, we'll hear your word. That we'll have the privilege of coming to your table and just remind each other of what a great God you are and how deep your love flows. That your love flows all the way back to the cross. That without your blood and without the cross where you were sacrificed, we really don't have any hope. Thank you that you're the one who sets us free. We're so grateful, God. We're so grateful. Help us to walk in that freedom today. We admit that sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get caught up in our own mess, or we get caught up in our own bad attitudes, or whatever it is. You know, Lord, sometimes we stumble along. So help us to really walk today in freedom. And this is a great thing when your people can come together and worship you. Thank you how you're building this church up and how you're adding numbers to us and you're adding more gifts. And we pray, God, for words of knowledge. We pray, God, for all the different gifts of the Spirit to be evident here, for healing, for teaching, for administration, for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident as well, that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control and gentleness, that all of that will be what describes us. That's what describes us as the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So God, just have your way today. Have your way. Just speak to us and remind us that when we come to you, we always come and see you with wide open arms. You are a shepherd who loves your sheep. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Fort Tom, you want to come up? I don't know exactly where that microphone went. Do you know where it is? Huh? You do need one. Yeah, here it is.
Yes, Pastor, I want to share also, like, I got a dream last night.
Okay.
I'm glad to have this opportunity, really, to share with you about the Lord's Supper. I really thank Pastor Stan and Pastor Alvin for the opportunity to welcome us in this place. Last night, I was singing a song going, I sing glory to your name. Oh, Lord, glory to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great to be praised. I see glory to your name. When I sing that song, the night I see a chair in this place with a blue sky, a really blue sky around. I say, but I don't know. I don't know what really you are telling me. For me, I understand that we are not doing things in accident. God is in this place. It's not the number that God sees. It's not the outside God sees. God sees the inside. That is what God sees. It's not what reflects outside that God can see, but He sees always inside. Because He's living inside. We are the temple of Holy Spirit. We are the church of God. This place is our Father's house. Yeah. God is my father. The church is your mother. This is our mother's house. feel free. Because Jesus Christ, he came to send us free. If today we sit down near the bread and the blood or the body of Jesus Christ, we are remembering what he done 2,000 years ago. For you and I, we can be free. It was not in the blood of the animal. It was not in the blood of, like when you get the Bible, you go to the story of Abel and Cain. When Cain killed Abel, the blood of Abel was talking before God for revenge. But the blood of Jesus Christ is talking good things before God. If you feel like you cannot pray, you have nothing to say, tell God, please, don't look at me. But Lord, look at the blood. See the blood. Because when God look at that blood, there is a deliverance. There's a forgiveness of us of our sins. The blood is washing us white as a snow, as Bible said, as we sing today in a song. God came himself to redeem us from hell, number one. Because hell is real and heaven is real. Because some people, they say, I don't believe, but hell is real and heaven is real. As it was the beginning, and the end will be there. Because some people, they think when the beginning is there, it will remain always the beginning. No, the end will be there. It's Alpha and Omega. So today, amen. So today, I wanted to share a bit the impact of this, the Lord's Supper in our life. Because when you go to the Bible in the book of Exodus 25, you go to 7, you see how Moses was carrying the covenant box. They carry that. They move with that. That it was an old covenant. They do whatever. They make even a bronze cross with snakes. When a snake bites you, they say, look at the cross. You get healed. But some people, they didn't look at the cross. The snake beat him just, he passed away. But some people, when the snake beat him, you look at the cross, he get healed. That cross, it was Jesus Christ. It was a Jesus Christ that is living with us today. Is with you and me. Is in this place. Is in our life. See how God is coming step by step, to come and redeem us. So, when Jesus Christ, the time was near, he called his disciples. He told them that this is my body. You eat it. And this is my blood. It's the blood of a new covenant. Sealed with him, Jesus Christ. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of a new covenant. It's the blood that is giving us forgiveness of our sins. It's the blood that is giving us eternal life. It's the blood who is giving us brand new people. We are brand new through the blood of Jesus Christ. All the sins are forgiven. And we are new people, new creature, new people through the blood of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see anything anymore. When he sees the blood, he sees you white as a snow. Even though your sin is red as anything else, but when God sees you, he doesn't see you as before. He sees you as a new person. That's such privilege God gives us. In our generation, many people, they wait to see this. They didn't see it. Many people, they try, but they didn't see it. But God sent us Jesus Christ to come and die. So us, as we believe him, we become a part of the kingdom of God. Because our name is written down in the palm of his hands. Our name is written down in the palm of his hands. Some people, I don't know, They get those things like joking, but it's a real. Jesus is a real. Jesus is real. And he say, I'm going to the Father to intercede for you. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll be with you day as night. Why we call Holy Spirit? When Holy Spirit came, when Holy Spirit is in this place, there is a liberty, there of worship. God is moving. God is healing. God is changing people's life. God is bringing people back. I have a message to tell people so, and this is the opportunity to give me, that women that are crying so much, but it's now time to rejoice. Because whatever you are be crying for, sometimes you pray for your children, your relatives. You pray for your friends. You don't see the way, but God have make a, he has already made a way through that. Just continue to thank him. Don't pray anymore. Continue just to thank him. I thank you, God, for you have already made a way. There are people with sickness or any diseases. God, he has already healed. He's already healed us because he's a healing God. He's a healing God. He's not a son of a man. Can lie. He's not a human being. Can tell lies. But it's God. God never tells lies. And God will remain always God. So I wanted to share. I was sharing about the new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot eat in the table of the demons and come and eat in the table of God. Because our God is jealous. He's a good man for the jealous to keep what belongs to him. Let us be focused on the things of God. Because if in the world they pay us, there is also reward in heaven. If people don't know how to pay their workers, what about mighty God who call us as a servant, no more like a slave? We came to serve him. There's a reward. Everything we do, there's a reward. Not here, but in heaven. There's mansions built for us. There's houses that sometime here you have been sleeping any hour, we don't know, but there, some people they can see, they say, but that is your house. Say, this is my house. They say, but in the world you didn't have a house. Like you say, but my Father built for me. That is God we are serving. We are serving a living God. We are serving God with a brand new covenant. We are serving God who is able more than able. I want to thank God so much to see some people in this place. When I see them, Pastor, I don't know. I feel a lot of joy in my life, in my heart, like exploding. But I tell them, I don't know. When I see you, I'm so excited. But I don't know what happened. But in some time, let's say human, but in the spirit, when we look at, I know that God is going to use them in a mighty way. They are here seated with us. They are not here in accident. Sometimes we find we are in the, before God by accident. It's not by accident. You can move and church and church and church. But when God tells you where I am is here, you cannot believe. Because he doesn't follow the number. He sees where the Spirit is moving. Where he is. Where he is where the... You cannot believe where he's manifesting in people's life, changing people's life, is where we see God. We cannot, it's not like the way you come, the way you go to your house. No, there's a difference. Please, when we have a problem, when they call us, come experience the power of God. Come experience God. Come experience Jesus Christ because he's alive. He's still, he's living, he's today, yesterday, and forever. Why today, when we talk about the new covenant, is the covenant, it has a lot of impact in our life. If Jesus didn't die, today we cannot be here celebrating. If he didn't die, But he died for us. He died so we can see God. We can build back the relationship between a human being and the Father. Why he said in Revelation 3:20, I'm standing in a door knocking. When you hear my voice, you open. I'll come and I'll sit and I'll eat with you. He's knocking. Sometimes we forget the society, the life, what is taking us. Let us be focused in the things of God. All things will pass away. I was in a demonton. I see he's a brother of mine. He was a pastor, sleeping down in a mortuary. I cry. But when I cry, something talk to me. You know why you're crying? No, because you want him alive. Because you want life. But Jesus Christ came to show us this life is just a temporary life. We have internal life. Where we belong, where our body is, no sickness, no diseases, no quarrel, nothing. We just stay there to worship. It's where a human being must be. It's not those things of here. Today, here, tomorrow, hospital. No, 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 no. Our body is there. This is just a duplicate. Yeah, we are living here as a duplicate. Anytime we go home, we go and stay with our Father. Because we belong there. Here, we have this temporary life. Temporary. I asked someone, you know why we have a short time when we are alive? And when someone is buried, it can stay for 300 years there? That someone cannot stay 300 years alive? I say, because the time is short. We have limited time here. When you sleep there, you can sleep for 500 years. But alive, you can't sleep. You can stay for 500 years. Why? Because the time is limited. Let us take that time, grab it, give it to the things of God, to involve in a ministry. Let us involve to tell our family about the goodness of God, relatives, neighbors, what Lord done to our life. He can also done to their life. God is a God of changing people's life. Bible, for me, I used to say like this. Bible is like when you buy a brand new car, they give you a book inside. So you can read that manual to know how the car is. You can operate the car. Bible is the same. Bible is the book of a human being. When you read it, you know how human being can survive. It's like that. May God bless you.
One thing before I open the word, just also want to be very thankful because Ryan and Carolina were in an accident a little over a week ago, and we're just so glad that they're okay. And it was a really bad accident. The whole truck was totaled. I just want to keep you in our prayers and thank God because he oversees and he watches those things too. So glad you're here today, and hopefully soon the pain and the bruises and the trauma and all that will be done. Can open the Word of God today. Let's just, again, we just keep praying. God, this is your Word. This is the instruction manual. Make it clear to us, God. Holy Spirit, speak. Prepare our hearts just to hear from you and to come to your table. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember this or not. I think it was about a month ago now. It might have been 5 weeks ago, but I was telling you a little bit about some of the problems that we were having at Potter Sands Kitchen, and we have a whole group of people, you know, that are sometimes they're breaking in upstairs and they're doing drugs, and there's sometimes it's getting a little bit better, but it's still kind of a problem. Keep praying about it. Sometimes 20 people up there that are doing that, and that they're just so lost, they have no other answers. And that at that time, which is about a month ago, I think I said that God was laying on my heart that I needed to stop praying, because the way I'd been praying was, God, show us the strategy to get these people out. You know, show us what the door is, or how we got to figure this out. That really the prayer needs to be more, Lord, just change their hearts. Let them come to know you. Turn their lives to Jesus, because that's really the answer. The answer isn't to have better windows and doors, although that might help. The answer is really that we see people change. Well, I'm not going to mention her name, and she's not here today, but someone was here last week, and I'm just kind of laying this out because this is an answer to my prayer that particular Sunday. One of those girls, 22 years old, who was part of that group. It's kind of a leopard colony. I was thinking about that this week too. It's almost, you know, we don't have leopard colonies, but we kind of do. Down in the streets, we still have leopard colonies. Well, that leopard colony on the second floor above the kitchen, she was part of that group. And she was at our kitchen about 3 weeks ago, and one of our people asked her if she was safe and got to know her. And I'm not going to get into the whole story. You'll probably hear more of this down the road, but last Sunday, she was in church with her grandmother, and she was here, and she came to the front, and she gave her life to Jesus, and she surrendered to him. So just praise you, God. And that's encouraging for me, because it's a direct answer to the prayer that I prayed publicly that day. And so I'm thinking, why don't we just do more of that? You know, Lord, if you could do that with her life, there's about 15 or 20 more. If they're here in a month, that would be awesome, God. So we pray this right now in Jesus' name, that the real answer here, yeah, let's all stand up. I like that, Don. Don stood up. Pray this with me. God, change the hearts of these young people. God, show them that there's hope in the name of Jesus. And what you've done in Brianna's life, you can do in many other lives. And so we declare that victory, we declare that peace, we declare that freedom in many of these lives, God. These are people who are lost. These are people who aren't even welcome back home. But let them know that they are welcome in this place, and that you are a God who opens your arms wide. You open your arms wide to include these sons and daughters. They are yours, God. So save them. Save them, God. We declare that they are going to turn their hearts to Jesus. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind the power of the enemy, the power that the enemy has had in their lives. You have given us authority as believers, so we agree together to bind the enemy so that the drugs and the sex and the power and whatever it is, God, that no longer has control, that they no longer are chained. They're no longer chained by the addiction or by this false community, because the community that they are in is a false community. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll set them free. And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right. Woo. Shout to the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You better get here early in about a month, because there are going to be more people sitting. We just got to believe this. I totally believe that this is the answer. This is the answer. The answer isn't more security. The answer is Jesus. The answer, and I could go on and on about this, but I know that next week we're going to hear more about this too. But Crystal and I, we had the privilege of meeting with this young lady on Monday. And it was so cool just to hear how God's changed her life. And she still has to face charges, and she's got to go before the courts, and it's not all said and done here, but she just had fallen in love with Jesus, and all she wants to do is help. She says, I just want to help you, and she wanted to tell me information. Let me tell you who's doing this, and let me tell you, and this room here, you know, she's giving me all this secret information, you know, but all she wants to do is just serve Jesus. So remember to pray. Amen. Remember to pray. Amen? Amen. All right. Matthew, just turn with me in Matthew just for a few minutes today. I've been thinking about that whole idea of leprosy and that there are leper colonies. We don't think there are, but, you know, if you get to the kitchen on a Tuesday night and you see all these young kids coming in, and some of them are 14 and 15 years old, and you see what crystal meth is doing to their complexion and to their faces, and you see the open wounds, and you go, you know, we're not that far removed from leper colonies. We really aren't. And the other part of that is they're shunned. They're not. No one wants anything to do with them. You know, just stay away from here. You know, the storekeepers, the city council. Most people don't want much to do with these people who are struggling in these kind of addictions that they're struggling in. And I was brought back to this story of the man with leprosy in Matthew chapter 8. And I want to read this and then just share a couple of other thoughts. Under the theme of be clean. Be clean. All right? Be clean. Say that with me. Be clean. Be clean. All right, let's read this. Just a few verses. Matthew 8. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, him being Jesus. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." You say amen? You know, how long have you been clean? We talk about that sometimes. How long have you been clean? How long have you been clean? 14 days. There you go. Clean from smoking. Hey, believe me. Yeah, that's good. Hey, smoking is no little deal. This is a big deal. That's one of the hard things, I'll tell you. So free from smoking. You know, and I'm not going to ask all of you, but there's a lot of us here that would go, yeah, I've been clean for 2 years. I've been clean for 6 months. I've been clean for, you know, 8 years or whatever it is. There's things in my life I've been clean from, you know, for a couple of years or this or for that. You go, yeah, thank you, God, right? Be clean. Be clean. And God says that that's exactly what he wants us to be. I want you to be clean. It's one of the priorities that God has for his children is he wants us to be clean. He doesn't want us to be dirty. He doesn't want us to be working in all the mud and all the corruption and all the evil and all the darkness anymore. He says, that's why I came. It's why I sent my son, Jesus, is so that you could actually be clean. One of the passages that I always sort of go back to when I think about this theme of being clean is a passage from Psalm chapter 51 when David is challenged about the adultery that he has been involved with Bathsheba, and he finally realizes, he gets to that point in his life where it just hits him. And that's what happens sometimes with sin. You know, sometimes we're living in sin, we don't even know it, we're kind of oblivious. And then all of a sudden, one day, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, one day we just wake up, we go, I can't believe, how did I ever get in this hole? How did I ever end up here where I am today? And that's where David was. And just to read that a moment, just to sort of tie this in with what we read about the lepers in Matthew 8. Here's what David said when Nathan approached him, and when Nathan told him about the adultery that he was guilty of, David wrote these words, just the first two verses of Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love and according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." That was his prayer. Wash away, wash it away. Make me clean. Isn't that what he's saying? You get that, right? That's what he, make me clean. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And if you jump to verse 7, he says this as he kind of completes the thought. "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." And it's no accident that you mentioned that earlier. I think that's kind of cool how the Holy Spirit works. For Tom was saying, you know, that whole thing about being whiter than snow. Well, that just fits so well. I was going to read this always. That's the Holy Spirit working, right? "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." And that you can actually, that word, cleanse me, literally, that word in the Hebrew is unsin me. I like that. Just unsin me, God. Whatever this, just undo it, you know, unsin me. Purge me is another definition of that. And that's where David, that's where David was, you know, when he came to that point in his life when he fell on his knees and he said, "God, I'm sorry, I repent. I need to have you in my life. I need you to change things. I need to be free," because he wasn't free, right? David talks in another psalm about how when we're engaged in sin And when we remain in sin, even my bones ache. Everything about it is bad. Everything about it just reeks and stinks in my life. And I'm not clean. The only way I can be clean is if I turn to God and if I repent and I say, God, I need a new beginning. And here's the really good news. With God, there's always a new beginning. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? I mean, if this is really good news, we should be going, amen. Amen. Right? This is really good news. There's always a new beginning, and God is always ready to touch you and to make you clean. That's the kind of God that he is. And so we have these two kind of examples. We have David, who's standing before God saying, make me clean, God. And we have the story of the leper who comes to Jesus and says, if you're willing, you'll make me clean. If you're willing, you'll make me clean. And I just want to bring that message today that we have a God through Jesus Christ who desires for us to be clean, and he's made a way for us to be clean through him. And sometimes, you know, we walk around in our filth and in our dirtiness, and that's not just us. There's a whole lot of people in the world that are like that. And they don't know that they have this option. We ourselves do not come to Jesus quickly enough, I think. But there's a whole lot of other people out there who don't even know this good news, right? And the thing about being unclean, and I don't want to go too far with this, but the thing about being unclean is sometimes when you're really dirty and you're really unclean and you're really not very hygienic, if I could use that word, you stink. And sometimes you don't even know it, right? I mean, I think that's always kind of an odd thing, and it kind of worries me a little bit because I'm not sure, you know, if I don't know it. You know, sometimes we don't know what other people know. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. You've been around someone who's very unhygienic, and you go, whoa, that is really ripe, right? And a lot of times we don't know when we're in that situation. You're living there, but I'm trying to find a nice way to put this, but sometimes we are oblivious to our own stink. And that's true for our sin as well. A lot of times, even Christians, you know, we think that, my sin is not nearly as offensive as someone else's sin. I don't really smell it. It doesn't seem all that bad, so it must not be too bad to you. But yours, on the other hand, is just reeking in my nostrils, right? Right? And so that's just one thing I wanted to point out. And I was going to give you some examples. I'm glad I'm not going to do that now because pretty soon it's going to be lunchtime. I don't want to spoil your lunch. But just make a note of this, that we are often unaware of our own stink. But make no mistake that you do stink when it comes to sin. Every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us is. And the other thing, just before I want to say a few more things about the story of the leper, but the other thing about personal hygiene, and I guess you might say I'm giving you a few lessons on personal hygiene, although not very specific. But the other thing is sometimes, I'm not saying this is you, but sometimes people cover up the smell of their poor personal hygiene with Old Spice. So they do this on a Sunday morning. Oh, I should take a shower, but I'm kind of in a hurry, and I want to get there for worship, so they get the Old Spice out, and that should do it. I got news for you. It's not working. Doesn't work. You can't mask it. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't mask it, right? You have this stench of sin. So do I. We can't cover it up, and sometimes we try to cover it up with things like our sin in our lives. Now, if we try to talk about what's going on inside here, we cover it up with excuses. We cover it up with blame. We cover it up by telling people or telling ourselves how good we are. We're doing all these good things. None of that's going to make you less offensive. None of it. Not blame. Not doing a lot of good things. Not a lot of excuses. None of that's going to change the smell, the stench of sin. The only thing that changes that is Jesus. Can we agree on that? The only thing is Jesus. He's the only one, and this is where we're getting. You're probably going, where's he going with this? You know, if I wanted a health lesson, I'd have stayed in grade 11. Where's he going with this? I'm going there. Here's where I'm going. I know. You didn't get through grade 11. I know. Just kidding. Here's a lesson. Jesus wants us to be clean. He says, just be clean. And we have a story today of a leper who comes to Jesus and he sits at his feet. And I imagine that as he did this, everyone else was doing this. Oh, there's a leper. Everyone stays away. You're not supposed to get close to us. You're a leper. You're contagious. And by the way, in the Gospel of Luke, we're told that he was covered with leprosy. Luke, because he's a doctor, describes this a little better. He's just absolutely full of oozing wounds, and parts of his fingers and his toes are gone, and his nose is gone, because that's what leprosy did. And it left with sometimes, anyways, with oozing stinky, yeah, sores. Thank you. And he stands before Jesus, or he comes before Jesus, and he sits before him, and he looks, and everyone else is kind of backed off, and he bows before him, and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he worships him, and Jesus does an amazing thing. He reaches out, and every gospel tells us this, because this was astounding. So the Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us this, because they must have remembered this, that he reached over and he touched the leper and he said, I am willing. Wow. I am willing. I am willing that you be clean. I am willing that you're clean. And my friends, you know, that's who Jesus is. He's willing that we're clean. I mean, look at us. Look at who we are here as we sit in this room. Not a lot of judges and doctors and lawyers and, you know, not a lot of whatever. Just a lot of pretty ordinary people who at one time in our lives were pretty stinky. Can we agree on that? Don't point fingers, Rick. It's never good. Rick's doing this. Like I'm going, I don't think you didn't hear the first part of this. Let me go back to that part about, no. Well, can we agree on this, that we have every one of us, and if you're here today and you don't know who we are, and maybe you're here for the first time, and you're wondering about what we're talking about, man, we're just people who have been redeemed. We're just people who've been made clean. We are just people who sometime in our life, after we have messed up over and over and over again, we have found ourselves at the only place that was left, and that's at the foot of Jesus, looking up at him saying, if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. And he has said to me, and he said to many of us who are here, yeah, I'm willing. He's saying, that's good. I've been waiting for you. Finally, you came, and you came before me, and you sat at my feet. I am willing to make you clean. I'm willing to give you a new start. I want you to live in victory. I want you to be clean. I do not want you to work and to walk in this dirtiness anymore. Amen. And yes, you stink, but I'm going to take the stink away. You got that? Yeah. In fact, you stink way worse than you even know. You do. You think you stink. Well, you don't know how bad. But I came to remove that aroma. I came to remove that offense. You're no longer offensive. Isn't that good? I'm no longer offensive, because as the preacher spoke earlier, preacher Fortang, we're clean once and for all. That moment, that day when I came before Jesus and I said, if you're willing, Jesus, you can take me in. If you're willing, you know, if you'll do this, God, Jesus, you'll wash me. And he said, I'm willing. The blood of Jesus, yeah. And I have this to tell you, and I know that most of you know this already, but the answer is always the same with Jesus. Always the same. The answer is always, I am willing. Isn't that good news? I am glad, because it would really change how I preach if that wasn't true. You know, that he would say, okay, well, for you, I'm going to clean you up, but I'm not cleaning you up. And, you know, he never does that. And he never does this either. When you come to him, oh, I'm so glad of this. When you come to him and you just kneel before him And you say, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You know what he never, never, never does? He never does this. Oh, you're ripe. Never. He doesn't plug his nose. He never plugs his nose. He doesn't reject you. He just loves you, and he accepts you, and he says, I am willing. Just be clean. Be clean. Amen? Thank you, God. Thank you that you make me clean. Today, when we come to his table, what we really do is we sit at his feet. We sit at the feet of the Savior. We remind each other that he is not a reluctant redeemer. He is willing. He is more than willing. He wants to embrace us. He wants to love us. He wants to take the filth and the dirtiness away. And so here's what I have to say to you. If you've come in here today and you're going, I got a lot of residue. That's a nice word for it. I've got a lot of stuff that's in me or that's in my heart or whatever it is. I don't think that he can take it away. I don't think he cares. It's not true. He really does care. And here's the part that's the most important. I'm going to end on this. But here's what Jesus really wants us to understand is he wants to do the work in our heart before he does the work on the outside of our heart. Can I say that again? He wants to do the work of changing our hearts. Because when he changes our hearts, then we can be clean of other things. Amen. Right? Amen. So here's a phrase you can, I don't know if it makes sense to you or not, but if you want to be clean, you need to, if you want to get clean, I should say, let me say it again. If you want to get clean, because we hear that from people a lot, I want to get clean, I want to get, or I've, you know, but if you want to get clean, you have to be clean. And what I mean by that is you need to, first of all, have your heart cleaned by Jesus. He does the inside work. Again, here's another thing that Fortin was getting on. He cares about the inside. And when he cleans up your inside, when he cleans up your heart, then all the other things that you want to get clean from will happen. They will. Amen. And if you think about it, it makes sense, right? Like if your heart isn't clean, but you're trying to get free of meth or trying to get free of gambling or whatever it is, but your heart is not clean. Jesus has never come in. He's never cleaned your heart. You know, it's really not going to work. Your heart is still dirty, and now you want to go change some things on the outside. Well, it doesn't happen. You need the inside to be clean first, and then the outside will necessarily follow. It'll happen. It will happen. Amen. And so today, I declare to you to be clean. Just be clean. For some of us, probably for most of us, as we come to the table, we're going to remind ourselves that I've been clean for a long time. That he made me clean the very first time that I came to him and I confessed my sins. But maybe you've never done that. You've never had that opportunity. You've never come to the Lord's Supper before. This could be the very first time for you where you say, I'm now going to be clean. I'm going to walk in this clean living. I'm not going to go back to it. This is a chance. This is an opportunity for you to make that decision for Jesus. And he welcomes you to his table if you're interested in doing just that. He really does. He says, be clean. I'm going to play a song here in a second. Are you ready with that, Cody? You just want us to sit. Think about this song. It's about being clean. And then we're going to stand in a circle. Mark, would you get Crystal and the kids to come in? We want to include our children in this. And then we're going to stand in a circle. And then the leaders, so that would be Don and Doug, and Crystal will be here, and Elvin, there's four. They'll pass out. Today, the leaders of our church are going to pass out the bread and the juice. But just right now, for about 4 minutes, listen to this song and let it soak into your heart. Let your heart be soft before God.
I see a shatter. You see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And your head. nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing.
Say, I am clean. Let that, just let that soak in a little bit. I am clean. I am clean. I am the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Nothing too dirty that he can't clean. Why don't you guys come on up? Today we pray a prayer of gratitude. We're thankful for Jesus giving his life, and we tangibly eat and drink and remember that this is the best thing that ever happened to us, that Jesus died and he gave his life, and that he unsinned me. Isn't that good? He unsinned me. So when that day that Jesus was with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. I give it to you because I love you. We're going to pass this out first, guys. Right? Oh, we're going to do both. No, that's good. Let's do both. She's always got a better idea than me. There we go. And I'll take one of these, and I'll just say the words now. And we'll just hold on. Just hold on to the bread and hold on to the juice, and we'll do it together. We'll take it together. He said, this is the blood, the new covenant, and I give it to you for that new beginning that you heard about today, the new start. Yeah, let's all, yeah, what are we doing sitting down? There we go. Let's. Sorry.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. And I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. And so I wait for you. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, throwing all of me. Jesus, you all this heart is living for.
Worship God with his song. Think of the words.
Falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Broken.
Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. And I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you.
So I wait.
So I wait. For you, so I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Hungry I come.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. I wait for you. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Just offer yourself. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. I just give myself to you, Jesus. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Us and you know, all he lived for, the only reason was to die. He only lived so that he could die. He only lived so that we could be safe, so we could be forgiven, so that we could have hope. The only reason was so that we could belong to him. And we say that back to him today. We say, God, we don't do this perfectly. In fact, we do it rather imperfectly, but I want my life just to serve you. I serve you today. And I make a recommitment, and I need to do this from time to time in my life. I make a recommitment that I am going to serve you. All I want my life to do is to be pleasing to you. My only purpose, the chief aim in my life is to bring glory to God. I don't always do that well, but I am committed to that again, to make the name of Jesus a name that is loudly proclaimed in my life and in this church. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
Jesus, when he died, he took the bread and he said, this is my body. This is my life. As you take it and as you eat it, just remember that I died for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe the body of Jesus. Thank you, God. Just say it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless you. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the risen Savior. And we say hallelujah today. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. Hallelujah. Of the world. And he is alive. And that's not a secret anymore. He's alive. And he said, this wine or this juice is the blood of a new covenant. Again, you hear a lot of these things that Fortan was saying. Really cool how the Holy Spirit just, there's this repetition. This is what he wants us to hear today. This is the blood of a new covenant. You live according to a new plan. You live according to a new testament. You live with a Savior who's died for you and he's poured out his blood. And this is a symbol that all of your sins, not just some of them, all of your sins are gone. Every single one. And you are clean. Because of this, take, drink, remember, and celebrate that Jesus died and he's alive. Now put your cup down somewhere, anywhere, or pass it along, and let's give God, let's thank him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're alive. He's alive. My Savior is alive. He reigns. Jesus reigns. And I am clean. Amen. Hallelujah. It's kind of a tradition, and we have 5 minutes, so we're okay here. Not that we couldn't go a little bit more than that, but it's kind of a tradition that when we do this, we say thanks. And what I often say to you is, if you went to supper at someone else's house, you would say thanks before you left, I hope. I hope your mom raised you well enough that you would do that. So as we leave the Lord's Supper, as we leave his table, how do we say thanks to him? To me. You're first. Amen.
Pastor Stan already clear to explain to us. If you want clean, be clean.
Yes.
So when you already clean from the smoking, no more smoking. When you clean from the stole something, no more stole something.
Amen. Amen.
I'm so proud. Last Monday, I heard about the family. Marriage.
Yep.
So we need healthy marriage.
Yes.
Yeah. Come tomorrow.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's good. It's at 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And it's not just about marriage. It's about general relationships, too. So who else? How do we say thank you? Yes, Earl. Loud. You got to be real loud. Sorry. Amen. Yeah. Clean of cancer. We say, thank you, Jesus. Clean of cancer. And God has the final say. Amen. Dawn. Say it loud because she needs to hear it. Say it loud.
I'm thankful for Margaret.
There you go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, because why? Thank you, God, that you take care of us financially. And
because of the blood,
we say thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. We worship you, Jesus. We're not done, guys. Come on. What are we thankful for? Annie, children. The ability what? To change. Thank you, God. Yeah. 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 That's good. Sometimes people think, I've heard that from people, they say, well, people can't change. They don't know my Jesus. With Jesus, people can change. Amen? That we're alive. Amen. Let's give a big hand for that. Thank you, Jesus, that we're alive. Ryan. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus, that you let me walk with you. Amen. That's good. Amen. What are we thankful for? Good. Amen. Our trials and our persecutions, we're supposed to find joy in those things, and we do. Amen. There's hope, yeah. Yeah. Linda. Yeah. Did you hear that? That she's thankful that God has restored her relationship with most of her kids. And we pray and believe that that day is coming when all of the kids will have that relationship restored. And you're not the only one. But I want to just tell you that there are some people here today that, you know, 6 months ago, they would say the same thing you just said. And today, that relationship, that family has been restored. I'm not going to point them out, but I want you to know there's hope for that. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Couple more. Crystal. Am I not seeing you? Whoops.
Oh, it does. I'm just grateful. We just had a story in Sunday school just about how we are created in the image of God for relationships. I'm so grateful for all of you, for the community of believers.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. Amen.
I would just heard on the weekend here, we have the ministry of reconciliation. All of us, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So our ministry is to have people reconciled to God Almighty. Amen? And so that's the work of the ministry of each one here. And there's no one here that, oh yeah, I don't have a ministry. You've got the ministry of reconciliation. So I just thank God for everyone that has been reconciled to God. Amen?
Yeah.
To the lives of others.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, just a couple more quick ones. What are you thankful for? She's pointing at you, so. Ruth.
I guess for the opportunities that I have.
Yeah.
Like being able to go to school, clean water, the home I live in, my family, friends I have.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
We can agree on that, right? Thank you, God, for the opportunities. And the last is Gaston. You get the last word today, buddy.
I'm thankful for the blood, but I'm thankful before the blood. Jesus walked faithfully for how many years?
Yeah.
And it must have been time there when it was difficult. But when he came at the end, just before he was crucified, the Father says, yes, you are worthy to be crucified. You know, he was worthy before. He was faithful, and I'm glad. I often think of that. Wow, you are faithful.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. That he remained holy, that he was sinless and without fault, that he was the perfect Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. All right. So we are empowered to go out. Amen. We are empowered today to go out and to reconcile the world to Christ, to tell the world that they can be clean because we're clean, and we ought to show it in our lives that we live this clean life too. Amen. Let's sing a couple of just, I don't know if you know these songs or not, but we're going to end on this note. I just wasn't planning on this, but alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is I will enter. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Okay, one big last stand. Woo! Why don't you just lift up your hands to the Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you his shalom. Amen. God bless you. Can we play that clean song one more time as we leave? Is that all right? Thank you.